वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so we've gotten up to the third parva. So in the second parva was the gambling match and then going to the forest. So then comes the third parva called Aranyaka, relating to the forest. This parva treats of the wedding, a wending of the Pandavas. Wending means, you know, moving. It's not in a straight line. Wend means, you know, just going this way, that way. Wending of the Pandavas to the forest and the citizens following the wise Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir's adoration of the god of day, means the sun god, according to the injunctions of Domya, to be gifted with the power of maintaining the dependent Brahmins with food and drink. Remember, he I think for 3 days, stood in the water and chanted this mantra. The creation of food through the grace of the sun. The expulsion of Dhritarashtra. Oh, the expulsion by Dhritarashtra of Vidura, who always spoke for his master's good. Vidura is coming to the Pandavas and is returned to Dhritarashtra at the solicitation of the latter. The wicked Duryodhana is plotting to destroy the forest-ranging Pandavas, being incited thereto by Karna. The appearance of Vyas and his dissuasion of Duryodhana bent on going to the forest. The history of Surabhi. The arrival of Maitreya. His laying down to Dhritarashtra the course of action, and his curse on Duryodhana. That means Maitreya came, and then when he came, then Duryodhana didn't deal with him properly, didn't receive him properly, because he had just come from the Pandavas. So he was talking about them. You know, Krishna was there, it was all there. So then Duryodhana insulted him like that, also the same way with the thigh thing, you know, kind of, yeah.
Maitreya or Markandeya?
The curse on Duryodhana. It says here Maitreya.
Okay.
Then, so he told him that thigh would be broken. So it was a double curse. Bhima said he would do that, and it was also the curse of Maitreya. Bhima's slaying of Kirmira in battle, the coming of the Panchalas and the princes of the Vrishni race to Yudhishthir on hearing of his defeat at the unfair gambling by Shakuni. Dhananjaya's allaying the wrath of Krishna. Right? Draupadi's lamentations before Madhava. Krishna's cheering her. Fall of Sova also has been here described by the Rishi. Also Krishna's bringing Subhadra with her son to Dwarka. And Dhristadyumna's bringing the sons of Draupadi to Panchala. Because right, only the Pandavas and Draupadi went. Everybody else stayed somewhere else. Kunti stayed in Dwarka, I mean in Hastinapur. I think so. Then Draupadi's children went to Panchala, means to stay with her father, you know, their grandfather.
And what when they went to the forest?
Yeah. Well, this is like a synopsis of everything. This is still the second part. This is part of that what do you call it? The 150 verse, which just gives the essence of the whole. The entrance of the sons of Pandu into the romantic Dwaita wood, conversation of Bhima, Yudhishthir, and Draupadi. The coming of Vyas to the Pandavas and is endowing Yudhishthir with the power of Pratismriti. Then, after the departure of Vyas, the removal of the Pandavas to the forest of Kamyaka. The wanderings of Arjuna of immeasurable prowess in search of weapons. His battle with Mahadev in the guise of a hunter. His meeting with the Lokapalas and receipt of weapons from them. His journey to the regions of Indra for arms and the consequent anxiety of Dhritarashtra. the wailings and lamentations of Yudhishthir on the occasion of his meeting with the worshipful great sage Brihadashva. Here occurs the holy and highly pathetic story of Nala, illustrating the patience of Damayanti and the character of Nala. Because Yudhishthir was saying that, you know, so unfortunate, this, that, and so then this sage relates a history of Nala, who also was banished because of a gambling match, like that. Here occurs the holy and highly pathetic story. Then the acquirement by Yudhishthir of the mysteries of dice from the same great sage. Right, so then he learned from him how to actually. Means Yudhishthir, you know, he didn't know how to throw the dice and gamble. So there must be some kind of tricks, how they hold, how they do, how they, you know, psychological, all that kind of stuff. Then the arrival of the Rishi Lomasha from the heavens to where the Pandavas were, and the receipt by these high-souled dwellers in the woods of the intelligence brought by the Rishi of the brother. In the woods, probably of the information, brought by the Rishi of the brother Arjuna, staving in heavens. Because right? After that, then Vyasa gave him that mantra, and then they went to. Then Arjuna, with that mantra, then went to the heavenly planets, like that.
That was the practice meeting mantra?
Yeah. Well, by that he got to the, you know, up to a particular place and got darshan of everybody, and that's from that he was taken, yes.
Maharaj, why didn't all the Pandavas went on the Arjuna meant?
Because he was the one to go. You sure I was supposed to stay in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So Arjuna then, he goes. Because he's the one to get the weapons. You know, maybe they wouldn't all be, you know, at that time. Maybe.
But Arjuna's the foremost in bows, and it's in the bow that you have variations of weapons. Otherwise, club and all, you won't have any different type of wear.
That's true. That's also a point. Because the club is one club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with the bow and arrow, then you can put all the astras on them. So those astras are generally shot from the bow. Sometimes they're a dart, you know, they're a javelin or something.
Maharaj, I heard that Yamar gave his club to Bhima.
I'm not sure. I think it was what's his name brought his club? Maya Dhanava. He went when he brought all the wealth and that for the Pandavas palace. Then he brought that club also, and it was like as strong as 100,000 clubs, so it was very special.
So brought the Devadatta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the conch shell also. Then the pilgrimage of the Pandavas to various sacred spots in accordance with the message of Arjuna. I think that also was they were going to all the holy spots. So between, they were going to all the holy spots and getting all the piety, and he was going and getting all the weapons. To the various spots in accordance with the message of Arjuna and their attainment of great merit and virtue consequent on such pilgrimage. Right? He was saying, because the point is the pious will win. So therefore, that's how Yudhishthir and them can put in the thing, is because by their developing the piety, then they'll win, and then he'll have the weaponry. You know? Does that make sense? Then the pilgrimage of the great sage Narada to the shrine of Putastha, also the pilgrimage of the high-souled Pandavas. Here is the deprivation of Karna, of his earrings, by Indra. Here also is recited the sacrificial magnificence of Gaya. Then the story of Agastya, in which the Rishi ate up the Asura Vatapi. Yeah, because they used to, Vatapi and his brother used to always invite the sages and then feed them and then kill them. So what they would do is Vatapi would be cut up and then put inside, cooked. Then they'd offer that to the sage. And then after he'd eat, his brother would say, Vatapi, come out. And then he would come back together and break out of the sage's stomach and kill him. So they were having great fun with this. So then I think there was a... people were complaining, and Augustus said he'd take care of it. So he went there, ate Batapi, and before he could say he'd come out, he already digested him, so he was finished.
What was his brother's name? Batapi?
I'm not sure.
Batapi or something?
I don't know. Then his connection with Loma Mudra from the desire of offspring. Then the story of Rishyashringa, who adopted Brahmacharya mode of life from his very boyhood. Then the history of Rama of great prowess, the son of Jamadagni, in which has been narrated the death of Kartavirya and the Haihayas. Then the meeting between the Pandavas and the Rishnis in the sacred spot called Prabhas. Then the story of Sukanya, in which Chavana, the son of Bhrigu, made the twins Ashwinis drink at the sacrifice of King Saryati, the Soma juice from which they had been excluded by the other gods. And in which besides is shown how Chavana himself acquired perpetual youth as a boon from the great grateful Ashwinis.
How come the Ashwini Kumaras aren't considered so high?
I think the general what's given is that being doctors, it's kind of like the lower end of the brahminical activities, because you're dealing with the body so much and everything like that. So it's not considered as good as, let's say, just dealing with the scriptures. So that's one of the things that you hear. But then the others, then they're kshatriyas, so then that's even lower than that. So that wouldn't be a reason so much. But from what I understand is, I think once they were describing the weakness and the nature of women and stuff, and then from what I understand, then Saraswati and Gayatri and Parvati and that, and they cursed them. Like, you know, because they were saying too much. But, you know, it may say in there why. Then hath been described the history of King Mandata, then the history of Prince Jantu, and how King Somaka, by offering up his only son, Jantu, in sacrifice, obtained 100 others. Then the excellent history of the hawk and the pigeon. Then the examination of King Sivi by Indra, Agni, and Dharma. Then the story of Astavakra, in which occurs the disputation at the sacrifice of Janaka, between the Rishi and the first of logicians, Vandi, the son of Varuna.
That means Vandi was the brother of
Bhrigu? Would be, because Bhrigu then appeared for a second time from Varuna. But first he's born from Brahma.
How come he appeared two times?
I think there was some curse in that. And so then he lost his body, so then he appeared from Varuna. Like that, I'm not sure how.
So the person comes from which line? From the one from Varuna or from Brahma?
I mean, or from Bhrigu, but whatever it is, it doesn't really matter.
Is he considered Varuna's son or Brahma's son?
He's Brahma's son, but at the same time he's also known as Varuna's son. He's in the Taittiriya Upanishad, then it's him in a conversation with Varuna. Like that. The defeat of Vandi by the great Astavakra, and the release by the Rishi of his father from the depths of the ocean. Then the story of Yavakrita, and then that of the great Raivya. Then the departure of the Pandavas for Gandamandana, and their abode in the asylum called Narayana. Then Bhimasena's journey to Gandamandana at the request of Draupadi in search of the sweet-scented flower. Bhima's meeting on his way in a grove of bananas. Of course, a grove of bananas. With Hanuman, the son of Pavana of great prowess. Bhima's bath in the tank and the destruction of the flowers therein for obtaining the sweet-scented flower he was in search of. His consequent battle with the mighty Rakshasas and the Yakshas of great prowess, including Hanuman. The destruction of the Asura Jata by Bhima, the meeting of the Pandavas with the royal sage Rishabharva, their departure for the asylum of Arishtasena.
Yes. Rishabha Maharaj, can you explain why it says royal sage?
It's probably supposed to mean royal king. Oh, royal sage, meaning... Royal sage means that it's a king who's a sage. It means that's just a translation of Rajarshi. Raja Rishi means he's a king, Raja, or royal, who's a Rishi, sage. So it's just a translation of Rajarshi. So that means, he's Raja. So that means Rishabharva is very well educated and has good qualities and all that.
Was
Yudhishthira Maharaj
Rajarshi?
Yeah, all of the great kings generally are all Rajarshis. That's why you hear about them, because they have good character. Because it's useless being a king or being in power if you don't have good character. Bad character is not... means, because then you'll only disturb people.
Kamsa.
Yeah, like Kamsa, Ravana, Raksha, like this. So power... is one of the opulences of the Lord, so it has to be used, beneficially for the Lord's service. Otherwise, it's said if the king misuses his power and deals badly with his subjects and like that, then him, his family, everything will just be destroyed. Like that, you don't get away with it. I mean, look what happened to Robin. So that's just standard, and he's the biggest. Him, Hiranyakashipu. You can't get bigger than that.
The king, can it also mean like head of the village?
Yeah, anybody who's wielding power, if they misuse it and exploit others or just do power for power's sake, they'll be destroyed. Yeah.
It said that Jagai and Madai were the most sinful. Were they more sinful than Hiranyakashipu?
That's not so much of a... It's just different. It's not a matter of, you don't need to compare. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just different. In their category of human beings, there was no one more sinful.
It can also mean around in Nadia.
That, but no, it was that they were bad. They broke every rule that there is in Manasamhita. It's like whatever you could break, they broke it. Like that. So they were bad. That's that. So that's the point, is that the whole point of this is Yudhishthira was good and respected because he only dealt with power properly. And anyone who deals with power badly for their own purpose, and especially we see time and time again, anyone who uses the left side, the black power, the black magic, all these bad things like that, they always get destroyed. So it's just the way it is. So it's... therefore, it's that the intelligent kings, then they develop character and prowess and everything like that. So therefore, they're Rajarshis, because then their power will have meaning. People will respect them. People will follow them. But just power for power's sake is useless. Just like to have money and for no purpose. You use money in a good way, like that. You see people that just want to be beautiful, just to be beautiful. There's no reason. They're always busy and they're trying to make themselves look good. Useless, like that. It's useless. So in the same way as that power, just to have power and be in power, and then that's useless. Okay. The incitement of Bhima to acts of vengeance by Draupadi. Then is narrated the ascent on the hills of Kailash by Bhimasena. His terrific battle with the mighty Yakshas headed by Hanuman. They always say Hanuman. Unless the guy's name was Hanuman. That doesn't mean Hanuman. I don't think it means Hanuman. Because he's not a Yaksha.
Mahiman, possibly?
Maybe. Because there are spelling mistakes. Like Karna has always said, come out here as Kama. So they could be misspellings here. Because this has all been scanned in, unless the computer recognizes it, it'll get something else. Then the meeting of the Pandavas with Vaishravana, Kuvera, and the meeting with Arjuna after he had obtained, for the purpose of Yudhishthira, many celestial weapons. Then Arjuna's terrible encounter with the Nivatakavachas dwelling in the Hiranyaparva, also with the Palomas and the Kalakeyas, the destruction at the hands of Arjuna, the commencement of the display of the celestial weapons by Arjuna before Yudhishthira. But because all these different asuras were bothering the demigods, the Nivana Kavachas, Palomas, and the Kalakeyas. And so then Arjuna, then he corrected all that.
In the Varuna gave Arjuna his noose, he can bind all the people. But then there's like many of these things he didn't use in the battle.
You only use what you need. Right, just like when you sit down to lunch, you have salt on your plate, but if you don't need it, you don't use it. It's not that you have to use it. You know, it's not like, you know, the modern movies where the guy's got all this stuff and then he has to use each and every one, you know, like that. No, it's just what they need, they use. Okay, the prevention of the same by Narada means he was showing the celestial weapons, but Narada stopped him because I think it would create problem for the universe. So therefore, you know, enough.
Who was he showing?
Yudhishthira. You know, I guess it was like a little fireworks display. But demigods, everyone were getting upset. The prevention of the same by the descent of the Pandavas from Gandhamadana.
When Arjuna was showing his ashes to Yudhishthira Maharaj, then everybody was getting disturbed. So during the Kurukshetra War, all the demigods were also getting disturbed?
Not necessarily, because maybe just because they're just going on their own, they're not counteracting something. You know?
Maharaj, also these weapons were uselessly just discharged for showing Yudhishthira Maharaj. There was no... So maybe for that also?
I don't know. We'll have to see when we get there. The seizure of Bhima in the forest by a mighty serpent, huge as a mountain, is released from the coils of the snake upon Yudhishthira's answering certain questions. So that was Nahusha, yes. The return of the Pandavas to the Kamyaka woods. Here is described the reappearance of Vasudeva to see the mighty sons of Pandu, the arrival of Markandeya and various recitals, the history of Prithu, the son of Vena, recited by the great Rishi, the stories of Saraswati and the Rishi Tarkya. After these is the story of Matsya, other old stories recited by Markandeya, the stories of Indadumna and Dhuntumara, then the history of the chaste wife, the history of Angira, the meeting and conversation of Draupadi and Satyabhama, the return of the Pandavas to the forest of Dwaita, then the procession to see the calves and the captivity of Duryodhana. Oh, okay. That means Duryodhana, they went out to see the cows. Like that. But they were just trying to come and harass the Pandavas. When the wretch was being carried off, his rescue by Arjuna. Oh, here, the wretch, okay. Here is Yudhishthira's dream of the deer. Then the re-entry of the Pandavas into the Kamyaka forest. Here also is the long story of Vrihi Draunika. Here also is recited, so if he says it's a long story. Here also is recited the story of Durvasa. Then the abduction by Jayadratha of Draupadi from the asylum. The pursuit of the ravisher by Bhima, swift as the air, and the ill shaving of Jayadratha's crown at Bhima's hand. Here is the long history of Rama, in which is shown how Rama, by his prowess, slew Ravana in battle. Here also is narrated the story of Savitri. Then Karna's deprivation by Indra of his earrings. I guess it's told again. Then the presentation to Karna by the gratified Indra of a Shakti, which had the virtue of killing only one person against whom it might be hurled.
Did Indra give the Shakti weapon to Arjuna?
No, he gave it to Karna, because he got his because he couldn't be defeated with that kavacha, so Indra got that taken off. But then in return, then Karna got his Shakti back.
So he didn't even give that Shakti open to his son?
Didn't appear to. He got Karna's armor taken off.
Well, they knew it in the future, so he didn't give it to Arjuna.
That's why I said it can only kill one person, because it's known that they'll use it on one, but it'll get, be tricked and used for Ghatotkacha.
And also before it says that when Ghatotkacha was born, it says that this was Indra's special creation, because he knew that Indra will ask for his invincible dart, and so that he can use it on Ghatotkacha and Arjun can be saved. Like.
Yes, there's a lot going on here. It's all happening.
Gods and humans interfere.
Here's the long history of Rama, which is shown how Rama, by his prowess, slew Ravana in battle. Here also is narrated the story of Savitri, then Karna's deprivation by Indra of his earrings, then the presentation to Karna by the gratified Indra of a Shakti weapon, which had the virtue of killing only one person, who might it be hurled. Then the story called Aranya, in which Dharma, the god of justice, gave advice to his son, Yudhishthira, in which, besides, is recited how the Pandavas, after having obtained a boon, went towards the west. These are all included in the third parva called Aranyaka, consisting of 269 sections. And the number of shlokas is 11,664. The extensive parva that comes next is called Virat. The Pandavas, arriving at the dominions of Virat, saw in a cemetery on the outskirts of the city a large sami tree wherein they kept their weapons. Here hath been recited their entry into the city and their stay there in disguise. Then the slaying by Bhima of the wicked Kichika, who, senseless with lust, had sought Draupadi. The appointment by Prince Duryodhana of clever spies, and their dispatch to all sides for tracing the Pandavas. The failure of these to discover the mighty sons of Pandu, the first seizure of Virata's kind by the Trigartas, and the terrific battle that ensued, the capture of Virat by the enemy and its rescue. And his rescue by Bhimasena, the release also of the kind by the Pandava Bhima. The seizure of Virata's kind again by the Kurus. Yeah, it means that they go, because all around the city, then you have what do you have? There's always land around a city, and then in that land, then you get. That's where the cows graze. So, depending upon the size of the city, so much land has to be left for grazing of the cows. So the cows would just stay out there, and they have cowherds to take care of them. So they just come and just take the cows and are taking them away. So the Trigartas start on one side, and then that would make a battle. So it would be very difficult for them to fight on the other side. So then the Kauravas came on the other side. So that's why everybody was on the one side and no one was there for fighting the other. So that's why then Arjuna went out alone to fight with them. Like that. The defeat in battle of all the Kurus by the single-handed Arjuna, the release of the king's kind means cattle, it means cows, the bestowal by Virata of his daughter Uttara for Arjuna's acceptance on behalf of his son by Subhadra, Abhimanyu, the destroyer of foes. These are the contents of the extensive fourth parva. the Virat. The great Rishi Vyasa has composed in these 67 sections. The number of shlokas is 2,050. Listen to the contents of the fifth parva, which must be known as Udyoga. While the Pandavas, desirous of victory, were residing in the place called Upaplavya, Duryodhana and Arjuna both went at the same time to Vasudev and said, "You should render assistance in this war." The high-souled Krishna, upon these words being uttered, replied, "O ye first of men, a counselor in myself who will not fight, and one Akshauhini of troops, which of these shall I give to which of you?" Blind to his own interests, the foolish Duryodhana asked for the troops, while Arjuna solicited Krishna as an unfighting counselor. Then it's described how, so that was considered very important, otherwise they would have brought out basic essence of the whole Leela. Then it is described how, when the king of Madra was coming for the assistance of the Pandavas, Duryodhana, having deceived him on the way by presents and hospitality, induced him to grant a boon and then solicited his assistance in battle. How Shalya, having passed his word to Duryodhana, went to the Pandavas and consoled them by reciting the history of Indra's victory over Vritta. Then comes the dispatch by the Pandavas of their Puruhit priest to the Kauravas. Then is described how King Dhritarashtra, of great prowess, having heard the word of the Puruhit of the Pandavas and the story of Indra's victory, decided upon sending his Puruhit and ultimately dispatching Sanjaya as envoy to the Pandavas from desire for peace.
When Shalya went over to see the Pandavas, after he gave the boon to Duryodhana, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Shalya, if when he becomes a charioteer of Karna, then if he could do something so that Karna will die. So that means Yudhishthira Maharaj also knew the future?
It's not necessarily he knows the future. That may be an aspect, but more would be the element that it's just natural. Shalya, other than Krishna, is the best charioteer. And Karna, other than Arjuna, is the best archer. So if Karna actually wanted to fight with Arjuna, he would have to have Shalya as his charioteer. Because otherwise, then Arjuna, just by driving the chariot, will keep him out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's natural. So that's what they did. So it's just a natural, you know, element of understanding diplomacy and warfare, what would happen.
Being a charioteer is like the Shudra class.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Shalya specialize in that field?
It means they should know how to drive it. If you don't know how to drive it, then, because sometimes you're on your own, you know, charioteer gets killed and you got to drive it yourself.
So he was like able to concentrate it so much that he became the best in it?
I guess. He was just very, very good.
No, I was also very good.
Yeah. Well, his specialty was the horses. Because he could make them fly. And that's okay. So then you don't have to worry about going like this and that. You just fly.
Is the story when the king's chatter fell down. And he said, "Hey, stop, my chatter fell." Now it says, "Too late, it's only 8 miles behind."
Yeah, because they're going so fast.
So fast.
Uh-huh. Okay. Here hath been described the sleeplessness of Dhritarashtra from anxiety upon hearing all about the Pandavas and their friends. Vasudeva and others. It was on this occasion that Vidura addressed to the wise king Dhritarashtra various counsels that were full of wisdom. It was here also that Sanat Sujata recited to the anxious and sorrowing monarch the excellent truths of spiritual philosophy. On the next morning, Sanjaya spoke in the court of the king of the identity of Vasudeva and Arjuna. It was then that the illustrious Krishna, moved by kindness and a desire for peace, went himself to the court of a capital, Hastinapur, for bringing about peace. Then comes the rejection by Prince Duryodhana of the embassy of Krishna, who had come to solicit peace for the benefit of both parties. Here hath been recited the story of Damvodvava, then the story of the high-souled Matuli's search for a husband for his daughter, then the history of the great sage Galava, then the story of the training and discipline of the son of Vidula, then the exhibition by Krishna before the assembled rajas of his yoga powers upon learning the evil counsels of Duryodhana and Karna, then Krishna's taking Karna in his chariot and is tendering to him of advice, and Karna's rejection of the same from pride. Then the return of Krishna, the chastiser of enemies from Hastinapur to Upaplavya, and his narration to the Pandavas of all that had happened. It was then that these oppressors of foes, the Pandavas, having heard all and consulted properly with each other, made every preparation for war. Then comes the march from Hastinapur for battle, of foot soldiers, horses, charioteers, and elephants. Right, that's the Chaturanga, right? Then the tale of the troops by both parties. Then the dispatch by Prince Duryodhana of Uluka as envoy to the Pandavas on the day previous to the battle. Then the tale of charioteers of different classes. Then the story of Amba. These all have been described in the fifth parva called Udyoga of the Bharata, abounding with incidents appertaining to war and peace. O ye ascetics, the great Vyas hath composed 186 sections in this parva. The number of shlokas also comprised in this by the great Rishi is 6,698. So then starts the war part. So then we'll end here and then continue with that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.